did you come from?
The true story of a stray dog.
Who are you?
That's Pluto.
Who saves a struggling family in more ways than one.
What's wrong?
This isn't working anymore.
Sometimes help comes from the most unlikely places.
I don't need you.
He's trying. He really is.
Sometimes one dog can change everything.
You don't have to be small anymore.
From the director of The Other Side of Heaven, The Stray, rated PG. For theater locations and more information, visit thestray.movie. In theaters now.
American economist Richard Thaler is the winner of the Nobel Prize in Economics. The Nobel Committee just announcing that it's honoring Thaler for his contributions to behavioral economics. In making the announcement, the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences says his contributions have built a bridge between the economic and psychological analyses of individual decision-making. The 72-year-old Thaler is a professor at the University of Chicago. In Texas, the Austin City Limits Music Festival played on over the weekend with memories of Las Vegas the previous weekend fresh in people's minds. Lisa Campbell has more.
The Central Texas Show is the first large-scale concert series since the deadly attack in Las Vegas a week ago. Festival attendee Alberto Garcia says he and his friends came prepared.
At the end of the day, we're always just be very aware of where we're at, be aware of our surroundings, know where the exits are at. We have a rally point. We already, because we come to ACL every year, so we know, okay, if we get separated, if there's an emergency, this is where we're going to meet.
Organizers say about 75,000 were expected each day to the festival grounds. Austin police say they were joined by Texas state troopers to have an increased police presence.
And in an interview with Mike Huckabee on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, President Trump is taking credit for coining the phrase fake news. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here today at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. It's 73 and a little rainy outside our studios right now. It's just getting a little aftermath of Hurricane Nate. Tonight, slight chance of showers before 2 a.m., otherwise cloudy, low in the 60s. Sunny on Tuesday, high near the in the 80s still for in October. Tuesday night down in the 50s. Chance of showers again Wednesday after 2 p.m. And into the to Wednesday night. Otherwise, it'll be cloudy, low in the 50s. And Thursday, chance of showers. Looks like it's clearing up for the weekend. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
Hey, welcome to Chef Bill's Table. Getting together on Mondays, talk about food, beverages, anything else that crosses our table. Our guest, Pete Nercio, today from Black River Spice and Tea Company up in Old Wick, New Jersey. He comes by about once a month to fill us in. very helpful information on how to use spices. Pete gets things from all over the world, and freshest, even though spices are dried, there still is a freshness factor, as Pete's told us about in the past. And he works with a lot of other producers, breweries, wineries, manufacturers. I guess you're not going to Pete for an ounce of Bailey's, but if you need 100 pounds, he'll get it for you. Pete, how you doing?
Good, Bill. Nice to see you again.
So today, a couple things going on. I think, you know, we promised the listeners that we would talk about pumpkin pie spice or apple pie, these spices that go into those. And it's kind of, you know, it's the season now. It's crazy. Pumpkin pie spices everywhere. And I guess there was a little, you know, controversy about calling things pumpkin something when there's actually no pumpkin in your coffee or your latte. It's just really the spices that are there. So people had to clarify that with the labeling or the advertising. But also today, of course, happens to be Columbus Day, if you celebrate that. Leif Erikson Day, you're from that section of the world, supposedly the first non-resident to land here, although Indigenous Peoples Day, which is celebrated throughout South America, and as it should, you know, the people that were already here. You know, you could say you're the first one here, but somebody was here before you. But we like to celebrate the Columbus Day was the opening of trade and reminding everybody how great free trade is. It brings products to areas where they might not normally be produced, and people get the benefits of that. In fact, even though Columbus was supposedly sent out to find the spice route to India and, of course, stumbled somewhere else where he didn't thought he was in India, but there were three items, what we call the New World, that came back to Europe after the initial landing here. And a little while later, see if you can guess what they are, but there were three items in our spice list here, or what we think of as spices, that were not from the East or the Mideast or the Far East, actually from the New World. We'll catch up on that a little bit later. So pumpkin pie spice. Now, Pete's going to kind of give us the lowdown on that, the differences between them. You may see, of course, there's recipes, there's things you can buy, right, Pete? You can buy mixes already done.
Sure. We actually sell them.
You sell them?
Yeah, we sell blends for pumpkin pie and apple pie spices.
Now, is the proportion, I mean, is it kind of even, you know, a teaspoon of each, or? First of all, what's in the pumpkin pie spice, right?
Yeah, the pumpkin pie spice contains cinnamon, nutmeg, clove, and allspice. And so in the case of apple pie spices, you swap out clove and you put ginger in.
So that's the main difference.
Most people don't. When you think pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie, you've got that clove in there.
Okay.
Whereas when you do apple pie, it's more cinnamony. If you have clove in there, it will compete with the cinnamon.
Yeah, clove's pretty strong.
It's very strong. Right? That's the eugenol in clove.
I mean, I use cloves in, I mean, the immediate thing that comes to mind, you stick them in an onion when you're making beans for cassoulet, let's say. You want to flavor the beans. You don't want ground clove in there. Again, you need very, very little.
You need very little.
Just that essence. And you had said on an earlier show something about when you're steeping or cooking out the whole spices, you lose certain aspects of it? Like mulled wine or something?
Yeah, it's not so bad. Drying, the process of drying certain spices.
Drying the ones.
Yeah, will change them. Like parsley is, the fresh parsley has a bit of a tangy taste that dried parsley doesn't have. And that's just due to some flavor oils that dissipate during the drying. That's also true of ginger. Ginger, if you put a piece of fresh ginger in your mouth, it's very tangy, very savory.
Well, yeah, I got like a citrus thing from the ginger, the fresh ginger.
Yeah, that
sensation.
Dried loses some of the flavor oils because some of them are more volatile. So during the heating and drying process, they volatilize and disappear. So they're no longer in the dried product. So there are spices and herbs where the dried is not as good a substitute as the fresh.
But there are a number of them that need to be dried.
Yeah.
Black pepper, you need to dry it in the sun. The allspice berries need to be
yes,
dried.
Yes, they're dried.
In the sun.
Yes, absolutely.
And you can burn allspice wood and get the aroma to smoke your food maybe, but... You know, if you want that allspice flavor, you're normally going to dry the berry and
unless you're in Jamaica, it's available dried most of the time. There might be a few places in the U.S. where you might be able to get it, the berries, but in a more fresh state. But for the most part, Jamaica is the main one of the main producers of allspice.
Okay, so that's going to be, I guess, one of the answers to the. The question we posed about what comes from where?
Because yes, people, okay, I gave one away. Allspice is one of the three spices that only started coming, that only first came from the New World. But there's still two more.
And apparently that with allspice, they've tried to cultivate it. I think Hawaii, I think, does now, but they can't do it.
There are certain places where you can grow commercial allspice outside of North America, Caribbean, South America area, and in the Middle East. I believe it is India. I'm not sure. I'm drawing a blank, but. Clearly, you need certain types of conditions for the microclimate, and
birds too, right?
Yeah. Well,
birds are what spread the seeds.
Birds spread the seeds, but when you're doing commercial cultivation, they've got their ways of doing.
Well, that they try. It really does need to pass through the digestive tract of the bird in order to work.
Yeah,
simulate that, I guess.
You can take cuttings and grow new plants from them or cloning or whatnot. There are several techniques that can be used that you can grow plants other than from seed. And so you have a nursery and they have small cuttings that are rooted. I think it's gibberellic acid. They dip the cutting, and that promotes root growth.
Okay, so they find yes, because I mean a lot of all these spices are from tropical regions, and North America or even lower South America.
Yep.
They've got to be imported. There's no way you're not growing these.
That's right. As a rule of thumb, spices are tropical weather products. And herbs are cold weather products.
Because my owner Steve, he was asking me about that. He says, "What's the difference?" And I thought, spices are seeds and berries and fruits, where herbs are more leafy.
Yeah,
where they're grown too.
They are. Not every herb and every spice falls into that those categories neatly, but for the most part, when you think an herb, let's say. Thyme, it's the leaves, and you can grow thyme in New Jersey. When you think of a spice, let's say black pepper, you're thinking of the seed,
right?
Or the fruit, and that is a tropical. It needs a warm weather.
We can't have enough winter. We don't have enough.
As soon as winter comes, you'd kill all the black pepper plants.
Certain things need a winter, like wine grapes, where you can't grow wine in the tropics because they need that dormant state.
So
everything works. But these spice mixes, so pumpkin pie spice is the components of that. So when you make your blend, do they all, I know you said before that when spices, of course, once they're ground, they get exposed to the air, they start losing their potency. If you have a mix like that, does it degrade at the same rate?
You know, what it it's interesting because when I blend, when we blend in our company, and we make all kinds of blends. We make Middle Eastern blends, Indian blends.
Yeah, you have garam masala, you do rubs, you use...
Yeah. Now, what we found, which is really interesting, is that when we create a blend for a customer, let's say they order biryani masala, we'll collect all of the different spices in their whole form that we need. We weigh them out. We get the proportions right. We mix them all together. We grind them. And so it comes out of the grinder fresh, all pre-blended. And then if there are any other ingredients that are only available blended, ground, yeah. Then we add them in and then toss the whole thing. But when you make it fresh, it does not smell the same as it will the next day.
Already it loses. Yeah.
The flavors start blending and you may lose some components, but... After the next day or two, it's starting to smell and taste like it should.
Oh, so you actually needed it.
Yeah, because most people who do that kind of thing, use those types of blends, they make them enough that they can use them a couple of times.
Okay, so we're going to break for a couple of messages. When we come back, we'll figure out those other two substances or products that come from the new world.
Spices.
We call them both. We still term them spices, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and we'll see how they relate, and how these pie spice and apple spice that we think of as going with sweet foods also goes with savory. Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inChamberRadio.com.
Yeah,
brought to you by the 100 County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
All right, we're back at the table here. Pete, we got Pete here from Black River Spice and Tea Company up in Old Wick, New Jersey, figuring out our little puzzle here. Items that came from the New World, which, you know, we think of all our spices coming from Far East or Near East and Western world. So he said all spice, right? What was
that's right. Ones? And then if you paid attention to the open mic during the commercial, you would have heard number two. Number two is red pepper. A lot of people think, oh, isn't that from India or from Pakistan? Or actually,
because those cuisines have embraced the chilies.
Yes, the original red pepper plants that made their way to the New World. I'm sorry, back to Europe, not the New World, came from Columbus. He brought them back.
Yeah, we said when he did paprika. I mean, this whole cuisine's based on paprika or the derivatives, of the mild, the spicy.
He also brought back red chili pepper, too. So there's a difference between the bell pepper and chili pepper. He brought, you know, the chili peppers are indigenous to Mexico, Central America. That's where the first plants before cultivation come from. So technically, that would make them a spice.
Okay.
Since it's not a leaf, you're not eating the leaf. You're eating the fruit of the plant, and you're it's from a tropical area.
Okay. And then what's the other one? Is
the last one is vanilla. Vanilla is from the jungle tropics of South America is where it originates from.
Originally, okay, because I mean, again, that's an orchid, right?
Yep, it's an orchid. It's the seed pod of an orchid.
And apparently, the process for vanilla is what it's a year or a year and a half or something between you've got to dry it and there, is it fermented also? No,
I'm not sure to be honest with you.
But the pod is. I mean, we'll do vanilla sometime.
Yeah, we will definitely do because there's different there's. Now that there's there are other areas where vanilla grow commercially, like Madagascar, which is off the coast of Africa.
Yeah, and people see the bourbon vanilla, which is nothing
Hawaii.
To do with the booze. It's the location.
Yeah, it's location.
The bourbon vanilla.
But the original plants come.
So with vanilla in there, and we think of these spices, these pumpkin pie and apple pie spice, as going with desserts. But initially, they may or may not have been. I mean, the quattro pieces from France, the four spices.
Yep.
Has, what do we have in there?
There's white pepper.
White or black, depending, right? I think classically it's white. You've got cinnamon and...
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Nutmeg and clove.
There's clove, nutmeg... And there's two kinds of quattro pieces.
Yeah, they'll swap out.
If you want the sweet, you use the cinnamon. If you want the regular, you use the black pepper. I think it goes like that. I'm not sure exactly, but I don't have that recipe off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's those four. Sometimes there's a fifth in there, which doesn't make it.
Quattro.
They'll add powdered ginger, maybe.
Yeah.
And apparently, they were called pieces de cuisine. And in that category, long time ago, centuries probably, milk, sugar, and honey were included in that category in French cooking, the way they termed things. So
really?
Probably the affinity for those spices everything was called a spice. It was different categories of them way, way back, you know. And, of course, they're not considered spices anymore, but in the kitchen they had everything was kind of, you know, the French had to divide up and codify everything. So, but these four spices, I always call it pate spice or duck spice because, I mean, we don't do a lot of baking at our restaurant, but the savory, of course, I'll use that in cassoulet, duck confit, whenever I need that, you know, and you don't need much. I mean, it's a strong flavoring. But charcuterie, I mean, you're using all those spices or a number of them, the same as pie or pumpkin spice.
Yeah, so
the pumpkin spice, you had the apple pie spice is a little bit different, right?
Yeah, no, normally the ones they have in common are allspice. The major component is cinnamon and nutmeg. Now, if you're going to do pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie, people will taste clove in there. You'll put clove.
That's the main difference,
and
right?
Whereas in apple pie, they don't put clove. People usually add ginger instead.
Okay. Yeah, because I've done compotes with apple, and I really, I like powdered ginger. To me, I don't know if it's that little bit of heat you get from it. You do get some from
you
the
get
powder.
A little heat, yeah, sure.
But anything with, I bake ham, I do it in ginger ale.
It's
it adds to the juices.
Ginger has some savory components in there, so you get that little tanginess in there.
Secret one in, split pea soup, if I'm making it with a ham bone, and there's a little bit of powdered ginger going in there.
Yeah.
Mashed sweet potatoes, for example. A lot of people sweeten those too much, and they put the cinnamon, and I'll keep it, a little bit sweet, but
sugar.
More savory, and I'll use powdered ginger in there. I try to get my sushi, but I said, forget the nutmeg and cinnamon. Those things can be overused and really does overpower the dish.
Yeah, especially cinnamon. Cinnamon is usually the most used of the mix.
Yeah, and if you're making a cinnamon roll, I get that. It's delicious, but sometimes it should be a little more restraint. And I think the history of spices, they were first used for preservatives.
Yeah,
right?
a lot of the components are antimicrobial.
Then they have some, curative qualities also, or digestive.
And that's probably why pickling became a very it's sort of very popular in most cultures because it was a way to preserve
the harvest.
With
meats and things, it was also a couple of reasons. Sometimes they'd get a little funk to them because there's no refrigeration.
Yeah, well,
but also from long cooking, and
that's
some
true.
Of the flavors boiled away, so you've got to add the flavor. But as things, as cooking got more refined, then the use of the spices kind of backed off.
Off, yeah, but still pickling is
and
very
they were expensive. It was royalty. I was reading somewhere, I guess, one of the spices they were used to when you had to pay the judge or something. If you got it I guess it was Italy. If the court decided in your favor, that was your thank you to the judge. You paid in spices.
Really.
But poor people, of course, couldn't afford that. So they got a pass on that one.
Yes, Marco Polo was the only guy being able to pay off the judge.
Yeah. Well, it was not paying off ahead of time. It was like a thank you afterwards. So, but then, these little tidbits here that we find go with spices, but definitely preserving. Now, apple pie, one of the most famous apple tarts, Tarte Tatin in France, the upside-down apple pie, where you caramelize the apples and then put the pastry on top and bake it, and then you serve it. You invert it when it's done,
really?
And you've got you do make it with pears and other things. That has no spices. It's sugar, butter, so that caramelizes the apples, and that's it.
So you're tasting
Just tasting caramel and apple.
Yeah.
And then we have some of our, apple pies where I've seen recipes where you just maybe use cinnamon. We like ours. My wife likes fresh nutmeg. She used to collect. We still have so many old nutmeg graters, all kinds of different ones. So we always have whole nutmegs. We've never bought ground nutmeg. And we kind of like nutmeg on apples. But cinnamon goes on other things. So I guess you can use a blend of spices or just keep it one.
Yeah, nutmeg. What's interesting about nutmeg is that there are two spices that come from the tree that you get nutmeg nuts from. The other spice is mace.
Okay.
That's the nut in the center is the nutmeg nut, and there's like a webbing that grows around that nut, and when it's fresh or freshly picked,
okay,
it's like an orange or red, but it eventually dries like a brown yellow. But that's mace.
So nutmeg and mace. So if you could substitute one for the other, kind of?
One is supposed to be, mace is a lot less nutmeggy tasting, and it's got some other components. People say that feel that there's a real difference. I find that if I swapped out nutmeg for mace, it doesn't taste the same. But if I use less, if I need mace and use less nutmeg, it's... more.
Well,
acceptable.
You're finding you can't swap out evenly too. If you,
yeah,
you know, if you don't have any cloves, you know, or let's go the other way. You've got, you know, you don't have any cinnamon, but you've got these other ones. I mean, can you substitute? Cinnamon's a tough one to substitute.
It's not, you know, it's not a good one. As far as cinnamon is concerned, I can't really think of a good substitute for it. For clove, sometimes people use allspice, and that's where the name comes from, because it was a spice that seemed like it was already made of cinnamon, clove, and nutmeg. That's the flavor of allspice. Yeah.
So they're kind of I understand, it's got
a lot of it's got to do with this particular flavor component called eugenol. In clove, it's like 80 to 85%.
What is it called? Eugenol.
Eugenol. Savory hot or savory warm taste of clove, that pungent taste of clove, that's eugenol. And quite a few spices have a certain component of eugenol in them. And one of the theories is that's the reason those spices work well together. So even cinnamon has a small amount of eugenol in it. So does nutmeg. So does allspice. And believe it or not, things like vanilla have a little eugenol, and red wine. Red wine has a small amount of eugenol in it, and it's thought, well, you know, that these different types of products will work well together, like mulled wine.
And usually, yeah, you take some red wine that maybe isn't that fantastic, and you can make a spiced wine out of it.
You could make a mulled wine, sure. Yeah, and we can talk a little bit about that if you'd like.
Yeah, ciders, same way.
Apple
cider.
We
do at the restaurant. You know, once it gets cold, we always keep some warm cider on the back bar. If for nothing else, it makes the place smell nice. You know, you put a couple of cinnamon sticks in there and a couple of cloves or whatever, and usually even just cinnamon. I mean, it's just the aromas. You know, the cider, you know, if somebody wants warm cider as a beverage or, you know, with a shot in it, we do that. But right now we're doing spiced cider.
Isn't that an old real estate agent trick? I don't know if you ever
heard
that.
Oh, they always say, yeah, they say bake some cookies.
Put some mulling spices on the stove and just set it to warm. And that way when someone walks in the house that's looking to buy it, all of a sudden they just feel like they're at home.
It's called warming, yep. We're going to break for news right here, and we'll be back. We just got to do about a minute or so of our station news here, and then we'll be back with Pete, and we'll explore some ways to use these spices. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news as an NFL offensive line coach is leaving his job after a video surfaces showing him snorting a white powdery substance.
But I think about you when I do it.
The Miami Dolphins offensive line coach Chris Forster reportedly resigning rather than being fired by the team. It's still not clear if the substance the coach recorded himself inhaling is cocaine. The video is of him speaking apparently to a woman who was supposed to be seeing the message.
I think about how much I miss you, how high we got together, how much fun it was.
Instead, the recording ends up on social media where it receives widespread viewership. The Dolphins reportedly believe the incident happened inside one of their buildings on their time. The FBI reportedly searching the home of the Las Vegas shooter again in an attempt to find a motive for the massacre a week ago last night. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast. and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering 6 times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill's table with Pete Nercio from Black River Spice and Tea Company. So this is the time of year we think about spices. All summer we've thought about herbs and other types of flavoring, and now between baking and pickling, right? Some of these spices, besides being used on the sweet part of the meal, we also used as preservatives, right? Some of the properties were thought to preserve food, so pickling spice. And I guess there's some different ones out there.
Yeah, when you there's two ways of pickling. You can pickle just tart, or you can pickle sweet. so, for example, just let's say you're going to pickle dill, cucumbers, make dill pickle, right? So you'd use coriander, dill seed, black pepper corns, mustard seed, bay leaf, and some pieces of red pepper. And that's like depending on the ratio, that's your standard pickling spice. So, but if you want to pickle sweet, then you would swap out some of these things. For instance, you might get rid of the black peppercorn and the dill seed and the bay leaf, and you might add ginger, cinnamon, allspice, and clove instead.
Yeah, there's definitely that two different pathways. I know in our family, of course, large family, and it was always we had pickles on the table, but we had to have the dill and we had to have the sweet, and it was the two different sides, just like, you know, some like green olives, other ones like black olives. So we always had there's nine
exactly.
People, so there's enough to, make it, all right, we've got to have some of each. And they were definitely different. I mean, now, I think with sandwiches, usually you have a dill pickle, but the bread and butter pickle is kind of that in between, I guess. The French, mm-hmm. Again, the cornichons, little tiny ones, we just serve them with pâtés. I mean, you think of all these things that go together when you're making pâtés or terrines or sausages that you may be serving chilled. Some of these pickling ingredients go into the meat mix, but then it's complemented by the cornichon or some other
right.
Preserves. And then, of course, mustard. You've got mustard seeds. It's when you start looking at you've got the sweet aspect of it, but now if you're making corned beef, for example,
mm-hmm.
You've got your garlic and your bay leaf and onion. You've got mustard seed and peppercorns. But most of your recipes will call for some pickling spice also. So you're still getting that allspice, clove, cinnamon type thing going into the corned beef brine.
Right, sure. In corned beef, yeah, absolutely. With the,
so you call it a cure.
Cure,
if
yeah.
You want it to turn mm-hmm. Pink, of course you put the nitrite in there.
Right.
And again, that was preserving, but also flavoring. But you think... the difference between, say, corned beef and a ham. A ham is normally just cured with salt, maybe pepper, and
you can use some cloves.
Smoked, but cooking it. But I'm saying making the ham.
I'm sorry.
You're just curing it. Whereas, something when you're brining, you're going to flavor that brine. I know, again, sauerbraten. I would use the juniper, which is in the red mm-hmm. wine, the vinegar, but mm-hmm. also some cloves go in there. But then when you're thickening the sauce, you're using ginger snap cookies, which have, there you go, with all your your
sure, this is the carbs,
your,
yeah.
Your pumpkin pie spice. The ginger are spicy, they're hot. But when you're making gingerbread, don't you use a lot of those? You're not just using ginger.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any recipes off the top of my head, but
right. But you got your brown sugar, molasses, but you've got your other spices. All these, the baking we do fall and winter seem to center around a lot of these spices.
Another good example of pickling sweet is because I was trying to think of one, it just came to mind. Chutneys.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, they're a way of taking fruits and some other type of products and preserving them. Into a jam or something, and or you know, a chutney, and so you would see some of the typical pickling spices in there: coriander, you know, maybe red pepper, a little bay leaf. But you'll also see the ginger and the cinnamon and the allspice, and so it's more of a sweeter type of thing.
Right, chutneys are that. I mean, I'd call it one of the. I guess you'd call it a new age sauce. So we teach in culinary classes. You know, you have your classic. Roux thickened sauces and made with stocks, but there's reductions, there's chutneys, there's salsas, there's other things out there that other cultures use that are very, very good. Nice thing about chutney is there's no fat in them. Normally, you're just stewing.
Right.
And you are preserving, but you've got usually a sweet component, and you've got some acid in there, usually a little bit of heat. And
you've
then
got
whatever
your pickling spices, the coriander.
Aromatics that will go in there. Mm-hmm. I've done a cranberry apple one.
Oh, that sounds
nice. And those get some of those spices go in that one. So, you have a little bit of sugar in there, but the chutneys are always balanced out with the acid and the heat.
It's clove, cardamom.
So it's not really like strawberry jam. It's, or a cranberry jelly.
No, it's spicier.
It's
yeah.
got more spice
it's,
to it.
It's yeah. more tangy, more savory. Yeah, I mean, you'll see things like cardamom and clove in there, some cinnamon in there, fennel, cumin. Those are typical spices that you'd add to make a chutney. But in fact, you're pickling
yes.
the fruits, but you don't want to pickle them bitter, and tart. You want to pickle them more sweet, and that brings up a point that. When you talk about allspice, cinnamon, clove, ginger, nutmeg, a lot of people group these as the sweet spices. Not
yes.
to say that they are loaded with sugar. They're not loaded with sugar, but they tend to go well with
the
sweet taste,
mm-hmm.
and are used often in baked products and in preserved or products that have a lot of sugar in them. So, they tend to group together, even
yeah.
in wines and beers and ales and these sweet
spices. Oh,
yeah,
now we get these, the winter beers have, one or more of those components in there when they're brewing. I mean, besides maybe your orange peel and things like that, there are what we call the pumpkin spiced. Again, there's no pumpkin in all these things. You're not brewing it from fermented pumpkin, but you've got the spices in there.
That's right, and you can add them up front to make it, or you can add them later on, and that's the process of mulling.
That's the difference. Okay, yeah.
For instance, you can make apple cider, but then you can mull apple cider, right? So you can add typical ingredients like cinnamon, clove, allspice, or nutmeg, and then there are some ad hoc ingredients you can use, like. You could add ginger to that as well. You could add orange peel, cardamom, star anise, bay leaf, and sometimes peppercorn. And those are one of the ad hoc ingredients. But the base is usually cinnamon, clove, and either allspice or nutmeg is the three components you start with.
That's the ones. So, okay, we're going to we got a break for a couple of messages here. And we'll come back. Finish up, get down the final here. But, yeah, some other uses for these. Go over some uses that it may not be your first inkling that these spices would be used in. Some everyday products that, there's these special, these spices are in these things too. So we'll do that when we come back.
Oh, Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
All right, we're back at the table here. So, yeah, some of these, some everyday things that we don't think of as having these spices and tomato ketchup, especially if you look to make your own or certain chili sauces. And my father was, he was always making things. He had to kind of watch his salt content, and he just, he loved to tinker. He, had, of course, had his garden, and he would make these chili sauces and ketchups, things like that, barbecue sauces. And always had some of these spices in there. Loved that. Loved pickling. In culinary, bechamel sauce, the basic one that we use for cream spinach, we put nutmeg in there. And as I said before, you know, when you're cooking an onion with white beans or any kind of bean soup, a little bit of whole clove stuck in the onion. You know, yep. It's you're getting that. You're still having those. You call them the sweet spices. I like to call them the warm spices. I used to call them fall spices, but really. You know, seeing different cuisines that use all these spices, of course, Caribbean, based on the allspice berry, because that's what was here. You know, there's still some cinnamon, but I guess, well, in sure. Central America, you get the canela. They get cinnamon down there? It's called canela?
Cinnamon is originally from Ceylon and India.
We went through that, you know,
yeah,
different sources.
It's not grown. As far as I know, it's not grown at least commercially.
Okay, so
it
was the allspice really that did it for the the jerk seasoning. You've got garam masala. Indian cuisine uses quite a bit of these seasonings. As we said, with the chutneys that go along with it, you're just kind of echoing what you put into the cuisine. Five spice powder. And that's more with the along the fennel or anise thing.
Is that asparagus? Right.
Yeah, but you have your clove and your cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
And then you've got your Sichuan pepper.
Actually, it's another type of pepper, but a lot of people use Sichuan peppercorn.
Yeah, that's supposed to kind of numb your mouth a little
it's,
bit.
Yeah, it doesn't have a taste. It just gives you a numbing effect.
Yeah.
And so you can tell if you have a really good palate whether or not there's Sichuan peppercorn in there.
All right. So and then another, you know, well, I guess you could say non-traditional because it's more on your end. But, you know, you sell to beverage producers. But for mulled wine, you know, and or mulled beverages.
Right. So, you know, I guess the first thing you wonder is what's mulled? Apple cider is mulled. Wines or fortified wines like Glühwein, Glögg, Vin Chaud in French, those are mulled. People actually will mull ales and beers as well. Brandy's mulled.
And so mulling means.
Mulling is the practice of actually taking a drink and adding spices to it, heating it up.
You do warm it, so they're normally warmed up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they're served warm. So, you know, there's like in England, in medieval Germany, they took mead, which is
honey
based,
yeah.
And they mulled it and they called that wassail. That was usually drank during the apple harvest. Today, they don't use, if you get wassail anywhere, there's no mead in it. It's apple cider. It's mulled apple cider now.
Okay. So yeah. Mead, starting to see that produced again a little bit, though. Some of the, you know, people are resurrecting some of these old beverages that used to be made. But yeah, you're fermenting honey. And it probably just got too costly, right?
Well, yeah, you can buy mead. I mean, you can still get it. And some of the artisan places still make mead. But, yeah, it's not cheap. But, you know, I don't think there are any really good liquors or spirits out there are inexpensive. But it's interesting that talking about mulling, there's a German alcohol drink, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. It's called Fürsangenbowl, I think it's Fürsangenbowle. And it's a, what you do is you take a sugar loaf. You know, a sugar loaf is like a cone of sugar.
Okay.
You know, today we make sugar cubes,
right.
But originally it was sold in these cones called loaves.
Okay.
You know, so you take a sugar loaf and you dip it into rum, and then you have some mulled wine underneath a little platform that's got holes in it, and you put the sugar loaf on top of this platform mulled wine is underneath, and then you light the sugar loaf on fire, and it caramelizes. You get a rum caramelization,
right.
And the drippings drip through into the mulled wine. And then you drink that warm. And it sounds fantastic, but I have never tried it. But you can it's supposed to impart a caramel sweet smoky flavor to the mulled wine. So that sounds, you know, when you're talking complex, that sounds pretty complex.
Yeah, but, you know, most people think of it as you're taking cheap wine and throwing cinnamon in it and calling it mulled wine. But, it's, you know, there could be... I mean, it's like crafting a drink. I mean, you think of it, you know, if you have, an old-fashioned, you've got bitters in there, you've got some, and mulling in bartender terminology means you're crushing or bruising an item to draw out its flavors and oils. When you mull,
right.
You know, an orange with the peel, you're not just getting the juice, you're getting that oil from the peel,
yep.
And that's going to help flavor the cocktail. You've got the cherry, you've got a little bit of sugar, and a little bit of bitters, so you've got all these components coming together. You've got a little bit of sweet, a little bit of sour and bitter, and then you've got your base alcohol. And it's not just throwing, you know, a cherry and an orange into a glass of whiskey and calling it an old-fashioned. And so mulling in that respect is crushing. Like when you make a mojito, you're mulling the mint.
Right.
With a little simple syrup. And you're crushing that mint so it releases the that nice aromas. I always say, like, I guess that's the cook's reward, too. As you said, your early aromatics coming off the spices and everything. Sometimes, for me, I find it hard to taste things after a while because, you know, the smell is 90% of your taste. And if you're standing over the pot and it's cooking and you keep smelling it, and you go to taste it, you're really just tasting more for sweet, sour.
Yeah, you're saturated.
Because you're on overload. You almost have to walk away, just like when you cleanse your palate with bread or fruit for a wine tasting. You've almost got to go outside, clear your head, and then come back, because after a while, everything, you can't tell. You can't make that judgment.
And speaking of clearing your head, that's one of the reasons why your mulling came about. There are some theories that they said, well, they used it for leftover wine or bad wine to spice it up.
That's what I always thought,
There is some truth to that. During the Victorian era, when they had French wine that had been improperly stored, and tasted really awful, they would use that for mulling. But for the most part, mulling is a warm, aromatic drink. So it's very good at opening up air passages, making you feel better. Sort of like if you're using
the steam.
It's like using what's that product, Vicks? You know, the vapor rub type of thing.
Oh sure, yeah.
You know, so it does the same thing, and so it's a really effective way of relieving cold or flu symptoms.
It's a great reason to drink.
Well, yeah, and you know, well, but back then, you know, it's not a cure. But it helped with the symptoms.
And so people drank it because of it. When you're heating this, and people don't seem to, you know, you're not boiling off all the alcohol, but you are, some of that is dissipating.
You don't boil. That's the thing with mulling. You heat, but you don't boil.
Because alcohol evaporates
at
172 degrees, and you don't really want it. So you really only want to bring it up to maybe 160 degrees.
You just want to bring it to temperature enough that it's warm. And it goes down very aromatic and warm.
Probably where people mess it up too.
Yeah, if you're boiling, then you're actually changing the composition,
changing everything,
and you shouldn't be doing that. Proper mulling is just heating it to a point. You know how you can tell when you start to see this like little vapor or steam cloud over the liquid? You know, maybe 5 minutes before it actually will boil. That's when it's done.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point, because I see, like, especially with unfiltered with apple cider, it separates.
That's right.
If you get it too hot, then you got your clear, and you've got all your solids come right out. Well, another quick hour's gone by. Pete, thanks for stopping in, and I hope people understand these spices a little bit more on this, you know, Columbus Day, the spice, the trade, and use some allspice. It's from the New World, and if you don't have all the other spices, I guess allspice would work.
And if you want to listen to this podcast again, not only is it on the Chamber, but I put it on my website, www.blackriverspice.com.
Great. So we can catch you even easier. All right.
Absolutely.
We'll catch you around the bend.
Take care, Bill.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news as an NFL offensive line coach is leaving his job after a video surfaces showing him snorting a white powdery substance.
But I think about you when I do it.
The Miami Dolphins offensive line coach Chris Forster reportedly resigning rather than being fired by the team. It's still not clear if the substance the coach recorded himself inhaling is cocaine. The video is of him speaking apparently to a woman who was supposed to be seeing the message.
I'm thinking about how much I miss you, how high we got together, how much fun it was.
Instead, the recording ends up on social media where it receives widespread viewership. The Dolphins reportedly believe the incident happened inside one of their buildings on their time. time. The FBI reportedly searching the home of the Las Vegas shooter again in an attempt to find a motive for the massacre a week ago last night. This is USA Radio News.
Are you a football bettor? If so, you've definitely seen the sports gambling movie that Hollywood made called Two for the Money, starring Al Pacino and Matthew McConaughey. As you know, it's all about the world's most successful professional sports handicapper, Brandon Lang, the legend who's a documented 21-3 lifetime with his Super Bowl picks. Hollywood only makes movies about winners. And when it comes to betting football, there's no bigger winner than Brandon Lang. Oscar winner Matthew McConaughey played Brandon Lang in the movie, but the real Brandon Lang can make you money tonight absolutely free. Get his best bet, along with those of his seven top handicappers, for free. That's a $700 value for free. You pick the day you want to win. Tonight, Saturday in college football, Sunday.